Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 62, Fluid Leaks 101. Ah, fluid leaks. The bane of most car owners. I would say besides normal and preventative maintenance, in other words, normal wear and tear and preventative maintenance, fluid leaks are probably the biggest single cause and cost for repairs for most customers. Excuse me. Person could ask, well, why has this happened? Why is there fluid leaks? Well, typically it's because of either some kind of a gasket or a seal, or possibly a plastic part like in the cooling system. I am going to kind of cover these partly in general and maybe get a little bit more specific. I'm going to talk about fluid leaks in general that really would be common to all cars, and there may be a few points in there that are common specifically to BMWs. But the basic causes really are because of some kind of either gasket or seal has gone bad, and this typically happens over time. It can be where a gasket, because of its location and heat source and stuff, let's say it's some kind of a rubber gasket where it starts to get literally cooked, it starts to get heated, and the gasket, rather, you know, even though it's rubber, it loses its elasticity and it becomes basically almost rock hard. I mean, I've actually had to, like valve cover gaskets on BMWs, I have had to literally take a pick and, you know, start them removing from a, like a ridge they go into or a kind of a valley thing on the valve cover, to where this starts out as being a nice, soft, supple, rubber, limp gasket. And by the time it's bad and I'm removing it, it's like a dead snake. It's actually cracking and crackling as I'm removing it. Okay, so they can definitely go bad. Seals, you know, an O-ring seal can become flattened out. They can shrink. You know, and again, any of these cause potential for fluid leaks, you know, whether it be a rubber hose possibility. There's a lot of potential plastic parts in the cooling system where the plastic over time becomes brittle, and it can develop either a small, like, pinhole leaks. I've seen coolant expansion tanks just literally crack wide open. So one minute the car is okay, and the next minute it's dumping coolant all over the place. So those are basically the causes, is that some part has typically failed or is in the process of failing, to where you end up with a fluid leak. So types and colors of fluid leaks. Well, oil, as a for instance, engine oil starts off as kind of an amber color, but it can also, over time and age and getting dirty, it can almost become black. Okay. So the reason I'm kind of stating this stuff is because if you're so inclined, I'm trying to give you information to where you can do some of your own detective work. Let's just say, if you're so inclined, maybe you're a person who doesn't mind popping the hood on their car, or, you know, doing a little bit of detective work to try to come up with some idea of maybe where a leak is. So engine oil typically starts out as being a light amber color, but it can also eventually become almost completely black, depending upon how dirty it is. Engine coolant typically can be one of three potential colors, depending upon what kind of car you have, and also what coolant that the is in the car. Okay, used to be always green. Okay, years ago, green coolant was always green. Now we have green, blue, orange. Those are the three main color groups, okay? And understand that just because a coolant is a specific color does not necessarily mean it's the right or wrong coolant, okay? It's what's important is the chemical makeup of that coolant. You know, hopefully the technician or whoever's worked on your car, or even you yourself, if you're doing your own work, that you are putting in the proper coolant for the car you have, okay? That has become a much more, it's something you need to be made aware of. And the idea of, you know, there are coolant manufacturers that say our coolant is universal, it fits everything. Well, In my personal professional opinion, that may be okay in a pinch, like if you're on a trip or something and you've got a coolant leak that you're managing by just adding more coolant to it. You know, if that's the only thing that's available is a universal coolant, that's better than nothing. But don't be thinking that there is such a thing as a true universal coolant that fits, you know, is proper for every single car out there, because the experts say that's just not the case, okay? Power steering fluid. Well, it could be amber in color, it could be red, or it even potentially could be green, okay? And again, regardless of the color that it starts out, it can get certainly dirtier looking as time goes by. Automatic transmission fluid, again, starts out typically either red or a light amber color. Yes, it will get darker depending upon how dirty it is. Manual transmission and differential fluids, they start out as being kind of an amber color. They will get dark as they get dirty. The main thing with it, and this is for both manual transmission and differential fluids, and what I'm going to say to you is something they did, you know, years ago, especially with what we call dinosaur oils, in other words, petroleum-based fluids. A lot of the manufacturers, of course, have gone to synthetic-based, which means that what I'm about to tell you may not necessarily be the case. But one of the things that the fluid manufacturers used to do is, you know, sometimes car repair it takes in almost all five of the senses, the human senses we have. Usually taste is not involved in diagnostic processes. I mean, you don't normally go around tasting something, but everything else is, whether it be, you know, sight, hearing, smell, and feel, okay? If you know what you're feeling for, sometimes you can tell the difference between an engine oil versus, let's say, a transmission fluid, or brake fluid, or certainly coolant, okay? But you can take in certainly four of the five senses, and one of them is smell, okay? Years ago, with manual transmission and differential fluids, because they were petroleum-based and because the fluid manufacturers were trying to help out the automotive repair world, in manual transmission and differential fluids, they would put in a component called basically fish oil, okay? And guess what? It made the fluid had a distinct smell. It smelled kind of like fish. Okay. The reason being is so that way, if there was a leak, it might be hard to differentiate between is this transmission fluid or maybe engine oil. If you smelled it and you could smell that, again, once you became, acclimated to it or recognized what the fluid was based on its smell, it made it easier to diagnose where is this fluid coming from. So just, you know, a little food for thought. I would say, you know, in today's world with more synthetic fluids, there's less likelihood of that, where there's going to be any kind of a specific smell to manual transmission or differential fluids. That's not to say that it necessarily isn't the case, okay? And lastly, as far as fluids go, you have brake fluid, okay? Which, again, starts out as a very light amber color. It's certainly not thick, and of course, like any other fluid, pretty much as it gets old, it starts to become more discolored. It becomes darker and darker amber, and then there's a point where it actually starts to look dirty. Okay, brake fluid has a little bit of its own smell. It'd be very hard for me to describe it. It's one of those things that, you know, again, once you smell it and you know, okay, this is brake fluid, it does have a certain smell and a feel to it. Okay. And, you know, as far as helping yourself, if you want to try to figure out where something is leaking from, or to help the shop better identify maybe where you've noticed, is, you know, obviously in comparison or reference to the car itself, where is the fluid hitting the ground or the floor? Is it more towards the front of the car? Is it about in the center or the back? Is it off to one side, like maybe just, well, hey, it's the left front wheel area is leaking, that's where it's coming from, at least as far as where it's hitting the ground, okay? Having said that, of course, you have to understand that, you know, obviously everything is affected by gravity, and a fluid that's leaking potentially even from one side of the car could somehow, depending upon what it's leaking on and where it's leaking and gravity and so on and so forth, it could end up leaking off the car, maybe even potentially on the other side of the car. Okay, so that's not a complete, you know, where it's dripping on the ground is not 100% that's where it's leaking from. But there's no harm in, you know, telling the shop, or, you know, if you're doing your own, again, if you're doing your own diagnostics, just keep in mind that it's going to always drip off the lowest point of the car, wherever that may be. It's going to take the path of least resistance. Okay. And obviously, again, because we're dealing with different fluids, it also means these fluids are thick or thin. They have their own surface tension. So some fluids are going to be more willing to flow than other fluids. Okay. Obviously, a thick fluid is going to take longer to get somewhere and versus a thin fluid. Okay. So, again, you have the gravity effect. Okay. Again, from a diagnostic standpoint, it helps the shop to know, are you having to add fluid? Okay. How much and how often? Maybe your car tells you when you have low brake fluid, or you have low coolant, or you have low engine oil. Okay. Most cars today, if not maybe even all of them, do not give any kind of a low fluid indicator for either transmission or differential fluids. Okay. They just don't. Okay, that's more of where, like with an automatic transmission, you're going to start having some, typically you're going to start having some cold drivability issues where the car, maybe when you go to put it in reverse to back out of your driveway, it doesn't want to go into reverse for a second or two longer than normal. It may miss a shift or slip during a shift. And then as the engine and transmission warm up, that symptom goes away. Okay. That can be an indicator that there's low fluid level in transmission. The differential, there's nothing. There's no outside sensor, no nothing. And this is probably one of the reasons why it's important to at least have your car looked over visually very carefully. I would recommend once a year. The manufacturers have gone way beyond that as far as mileage and time. But that's them trying to make it appear as if your car hardly ever has to have anything done to it. So there are definitely things on a car that must be looked at visually, okay? That's just the way it is, okay? Unless people want to have about dozens and dozens of more sensors in their car than the car already has, okay? So it does help if you've got a, let's say you have a slow leak, you've gotten a low engine oil message or a light or something, and you've added maybe a quart of oil, and you're able to either check the dipstick or the car says, okay, now we're full of oil, we're all right. Well, if a week later or day later, you know, a month later, that message or light comes back on again, it sort of tells you how bad of a leak you have, okay? And certainly, again, that would be helpful when you're relaying this information to the repair shop to let them know that, okay? The other thing would be leaks can be non-pressurized or pressurized leaks, okay? You know, things like a valve cover gasket, oil pan gasket, timing chain cover gaskets, let's say most transmission leaks and certainly differential leaks, those are going to be non-pressurized. So whatever gasket or seal that is now leaking that you have a fluid leak from, it means that the gasket is basically sandwiched between two different parts of the engine or transmission or whatever that are bolted together. And that gasket or seal is there to take up that space, okay? So that gasket or seal is now in the process of going bad, and hence the reason you have a leak, okay? But that would be considered a non-pressurized leak. So the fluid that gasket is trying to retain that is no longer working properly is what I would call a splash oil leak, okay, non-pressurized. So the fluid that's behind there that is now escaping in some way or another is not under any kind of real pressure. It's splashing around inside whatever that component is, and it's slowly making its way out, okay? A pressurized leak would be more like a oil filter housing to gas, to a block, you know, an oil pressure switch, anything that the system, if there's a, let's say a pressure switch on the side of the transmission or the transmission cooler, you know, transmission oil or fluid cooler lines are leaking, those are all under pressure. And so any leak from that, even though it may appear to be a small leak initially, it certainly has the possibility, because it is under pressure, to become a much more aggressive leak, maybe very quickly. Okay, maybe not. I've had people where they had a, let's say they had an oil filter housing to cylinder block leak on a BMW, which is unfortunately a somewhat common leak point. And, you know, maybe they've noticed a few drops or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I've diagnosed it. Okay, here's what's wrong. And they're going like, well, do I have to do that right away? And it's like, well, no, but it is a pressurized leak. So it has the possibility of becoming much more aggressive, maybe potentially quickly. So I leave it up to them. I mean, it's their car, their money. Okay. But certainly, if you're talking with a repair shop and they found a leak, and one of the things you, there's no reason why you can't ask them if you're so inclined, is this a pressurized or non-pressurized leak? And just see what they say. You know, for some people, some customers, and some shop owners for that matter, any leak is too much of a leak and it's not right, and they're, so therefore it should be fixed. Okay, well, I understand. But the other side of it, like I say, I've had people where, you know, their valve cover gasket is leaking and there's no outward symptoms. But on a BMW, as a for instance, I would explain to them, well, what does this, you know, potentially entail, or what are the some of the symptoms that as you're going down the road, so to speak, okay? And again, ultimately, it's, you know, it's your choice as far as what to do. You know, some people would live with the leaks for a while. They just add more fluid. And again, you should really only think about doing that if you know what type of leak it is, okay? So unless you happen to live in a state that has, which very few now do anymore, where it has some sort of mandatory safety inspection that your car, things on your car have to be fixed. Or if you're in another country, certainly, there are certainly some countries, I understand Europe is very big with it, that they have mandatory safety inspections. And some of them could be potentially where if you don't fix a particular item, you're not driving the car. That's all there is to it. So there's less, you know, there's less wiggle room of what to do or not to do in regards to repairs on your car. In the USA, there's only about 10 or 11 states in this country that have some sort of mandatory vehicle inspection. And frankly, I don't know how in depth or involved it is. It may be only safety systems. Okay. So a engine oil leak may not be considered a safety issue. Okay. Something like a brake fluid leak would be. Okay. Because obviously if you run out of brake fluid, you're not stopping. Okay. That would be a very bad thing. Okay. And again, you know, depending upon the system, you know, if you have a power steering fluid leak, again, it's either non-pressurized or pressurized. And if it's a pressurized leak, I mean, it's not like engine oil that there's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 quarts of oil in there. And, you know, you could lose a quart and not cause damage. You lose a quart of power steering fluid and your power steering is going to either be making a lot of noise and or damaging it, and or you may be actually losing power assist. Okay. Brake fluid's the same way. That system does not hold very much. I mean, the only reserve is in the reservoir, and most brake fluid reservoirs, I'd be surprised if they even held even maybe 2 cups of brake fluid. Okay. Cause it is considered a closed system. So some systems, you don't have very much legal wiggle room in regards to, you know, just sort of biding your time and not having something repaired. So it's certainly very worthwhile to at least have a professional, or if you want to tackle it yourself, but find out what it is, you know, what kind of fluid leak it is, where it is. Is it pressurized or non-pressurized? And obviously, what's it going to cost to make it right? And that way you've got more information to decide, am I going to fix this now or can I wait, you know, till next paycheck or something like that, whatever the case may be. So on BMW specifically, I would say the most common fluid leaks, which are usually oil, it's typically either the valve cover gaskets, the oil filter housing, and or oil pan gaskets. Okay. The valve cover and oil pan gaskets, those are perfect example of, again, what I call a splash oil leak. Okay. So a person, you know, if you're willing to add oil, you can live with that for a certain period of time. Although on BMWs with the valve cover gasket leaking, typically the first thing that's going to happen, the customer is going to know the first outward symptom is that when they get out of the car, especially after a decent drive, they smell this burning oil smell. I mean, that's exactly what it is that the oil is dripping onto the exhaust manifold and obviously heating it up and burning it. So you can literally get smoke coming. Once you actually see visible smoke, that's a pretty bad leak. And yes, there are some leaks, depending upon how aggressive they are and what it is that's leaking and where it's leaking on to, it could potentially start a fire. Okay. Any petroleum product or even a synthetic fluid does have what's called a flash point, which means it's the temperature at which that fluid, if it's heated up to that temperature, whatever that flash point is, that fluid will self-ignite. Okay. So that means fire. Prior to that, you'd probably be having a pretty good amount of smoke. And I think most people with some brain cells actively working, if it was, you know, at that point, they would have either pulled over and or had the car fixed already. But, you know, there's those people that like to roll the dice. And so just understand that, you know, if a shop does necessarily tell you that, you know, the potential here is for a fire, they should be able to explain why. I mean, I've told people, I said, look, I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but this is, you know, I have had cars certainly where I've had some that were a very serious leak. And the person goes, well, I don't want to fix it right now, or I can, or, and so I do explain to them what the circumstances and consequences are. And I've, you know, have said to them, I'm not trying to scare you. Okay. You know, I'm trying to educate you about what can happen. And you know, talk to them and describe to them what a flash point is of a fluid and what does that mean, okay? I mean, just because there's not an open flame per se, you know, there's still the potential for it. Actually, one of the fluids I just was thinking about, I didn't really talk about is gasoline. I mean, you can have a gasoline leak. That's probably, on a BMW, that's probably one of the least things that potentially happens. Of course, for most people, that's, you know, you can smell that pretty quickly. Believe it or not, it does not take hardly any amount of a fuel leak to smell it, okay? You can have a situation where you could just have a few drops that are coming out, especially if it's in the engine compartment, and especially if you have your climate system turned on. It'll draw those fumes right into the inside the car, and people certainly... Because most of us in this country, in the USA, we have to pump our own gas. So we've all been exposed to the smell. And so we recognize that probably, I would imagine of all of the fluids, that's probably the one we recognize the easiest by smell. Is we've all been exposed to it to some degree or another. Okay. So a fuel leak is probably potentially, it's probably the most dangerous, especially if it is in the engine compartment. It's probably the easiest to pick up on because of the smell. It takes probably the least amount of leak before you do have some kind of a symptom that's showing itself to you. And obviously, people don't want to be, you know, losing fuel on the ground because that kind of gets expensive. So it probably gets handled pretty quickly as far as getting repaired. You know, next to that, I would say would be brake fluid. I mean, you don't want to be driving a car around that actually literally has a brake fluid leak, because depending upon how often you pump the brakes, you could lose, depending upon how often you pump the brakes and the design of the brake system in that car, you could lose half of your brakes rather quickly. Most of them have what's called a dual diagonal hydraulic circuit in most cars, and they do that for safety reasons. I don't want to get off course here, but essentially it means that there's one circuit that's in and of itself that goes, let's say, from the left front and the right rear, and then the other circuit is from the right front and the left rear. So if you were to lose hydraulics, or you had a leak, let's say, in the left front, you would lose your braking on the left front and the right rear, but you would still have braking on the right front and the left rear. So you'd go from four-wheel brakes to two-wheel brakes. Not good, but at least you have brakes. Okay, you have something. Okay, and again, I mean, I would imagine that the vast majority, if not all cars, have some sort of a low brake fluid warning that would tell you before you actually lost your brakes. Okay, so getting back again to BMWs, valve cover gaskets, oil filter housings, oil pan gaskets. I would say the next most common leak, certainly on a BMW, and this might be true for a lot of cars, is coolant leaks. Okay. The cooling system is a pressurized system, okay? So it is under pressure all the time. Even when the car is dead cold, it is still pressurized. Now, granted, when you start the car up and run it, the pressure does go up from there, okay? But it is still a pressurized system, okay? So I'm just going back. I should have made this in my notes. I apologize. I did an episode on cooling systems, why are they pressurized? And so if you wanted to learn more about specifically cooling systems, wow, I should have done this before, I'm sorry. I'm going back through my notes to find that particular episode. Apologize. In any case, cooling systems, again, color-wise, you're looking for either green, blue, or red, as far as the actual fluid. Cooling systems, probably from the standpoint of potentially harming your engine, those are probably the next one that I would be concerned about trying to push the limit, as they say, or just keep driving the car. Because if the car runs even just low on coolant, that's a bad thing. Okay, because if it starts to uncover different areas in the engine that normally have to have coolant passing over them to keep that particular part of the car cool. We're talking about the engine. You'll have what's called localized overheating, which is not good. Okay. God, is that far back? I can't believe that. I'm sorry. There we go. If you want to find out more about your cooling system, check out episode number 21, which is cooling systems. Why are they pressurized? Okay. I talk more about cooling systems specifically. Apologize for that. I should have had that kind of ready for you. In any case, coolant-wise, again, you know, green, orange, blue. Wow. Again, you can certainly use the color partly as a indicator. Coolant itself, antifreeze coolant, it has kind of an oily feel to it. I mean, it is supposed to be a mixture of 50-50 of coolant or antifreeze and water. So it doesn't feel like oil, but yet it also doesn't feel like water either. Okay. And again, it can leak under different circumstances. I've seen water pumps where they leaked like a sieve when the engine was cold and you started it up and the engine comes up to temperature and the thing stops leaking. And I've seen them go the other way. Okay, they don't leak when they're cold, and they leak when they're hot. Okay, get to where there's pinhole leaks. Typically, most cooling system leaks, frankly, in today's world, are usually in one of the plastic parts. Okay, that being said, we're talking about like coolant expansion tanks. The radiator end tanks are typically plastic. They're aluminum core with a plastic end tanks. The connections to the radiator are plastic. Nowadays, at least certainly with BMWs, all the coolant hoses, pretty much all, if not most of them, have some sort of plastic end to them. Okay. So over time, that plastic becomes brittle. It starts to change chemically. It just becomes very, very brittle. And it will either develop either a pinhole leak or it will just split open. Okay. So don't be hard on yourself if, you know, you're driving along and all of a sudden the car develops a coolant leak. I'm a bit advocate of taking your car to a specialist. And when I mean that, I mean brand specific or someone who only works on European cars or only works on domestic or Asian or whatever it is you happen to have. You know, taking a car to just a general repair shop, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but unless you have a car that is pretty popular, and again, this goes back to, you know, interviewing the shop before you necessarily decide to go to them. And again, this is before the car is broken. Okay. But talk to them about, you know, based on their experience of working with that brand of car, whatever the mileage is on the car at the time, you know, is there any recommendations they can make to you based on past experience and history to where they know that because they work on so many of that particular car, they know they can make recommendations to you in regards to replacing things preventatively, okay? And certainly this would be a big issue potentially with coolant. Because the engine, the life of the engine is measured in potentially minutes or less. If you have a massive coolant leak, you can't just keep driving the car. Okay. I mean, you can, and then it'll shut off. And if you're lucky, if it has some sort of a built-in emergency running fail-safe limp-in mode, it will only allow you to drive so fast and so far to get off the road, and then the engine shuts off. Okay. It's trying to protect itself from you. Okay. I mean, I realize we could all be in potentially bad areas where we don't want to have to pull over, but you know, sometimes in the interest of protecting the engine and the car and you, these systems are built into it. So probably coolant would be one that it will go through that kind of a cycle necessarily, certainly with a BMW. Oil, not so much. Okay. If a car develops a pressurized oil leak and it's a severe leak, you know, you don't. First of all, typically engine oil, it holds somewhere between 5 to, let's say, 8 quarts of oil. Okay. A cooling system in a car, well, cooling systems in cars are typically around maybe 2 gallons, maybe 2.5 gallons of total coolant, you know, mix. And that's in the entire engine and the whole cooling system. Okay. But again, if you start to uncover an area of the engine internally that needs that coolant flow to keep itself cool, and that coolant's not there, it will develop a steam pocket, which of course creates its localized overheating. Well, the coolant that's still in that area that's a little bit lower, now it starts to overheat and it creates a bigger steam pocket, which creates more localized overheating, which creates a bigger steam pocket, which creates, you see where I'm going here. Okay. At some point in that process, you're going to start having engine damage. Okay. So this is why the systems, if they have sensors in the proper area and the car is, you know, reasonably computerized, I can speak certainly of BMW. I don't know about other cars, but BMW's later model ones will go into a limp-in mode where it will just automatically start to reduce throttle. You could have your right foot firmly planted to the floor, and you're still only doing about 20 miles an hour. Okay, and the car is still slowing down. It's allowing you to pull off the road safely, get to the side of the road, and shut the car off. Okay, it's trying to save itself. Okay, which, if that were not to happen, I mean, I've seen people wipe out engines. So, you know, cooling systems and oil systems are probably the two that would potentially cause the greatest amount of harm to the engine. Within the shortest period of time, in regards to any of the fluids that are in a car. Okay. So you want to heed those. And like I say, if you find a shop that they're well versed in the particular car you have, you know, you may not want to hear the information of what they have to recommend. But certainly, if they're recommending something from a preventative standpoint, there's no reason why you can't talk to them about it, you know, see what their recommendation is. I mean, I start on BMWs that have electrically operated coolant pumps. I've seen them go bad anywhere from a low of about 60,000 all the way up to maybe 120,000 miles. That seems to be the spread that they will tend to last. Okay. So when a car's got 60 or 70,000 on it, and especially if I have no history on the car, if it's the first time in my shop, and especially if I'm doing like a major service or I'm doing what's called a vehicle check where I'm looking over the whole car, I'm going to write an estimate with a question mark of replacing the coolant pump and maybe the thermostat as well. But I'm going to talk to the customer about it. I'm going to ask them, you know, how long have they owned the car? If it's they've been the original owner and the car's got 70 or 80,000 miles on it, I'm going to ask them, do you know, if you recall, if the coolant water pump has been replaced previously? And some people might say, oh yeah, that went bad at 60,000. Oh, okay, well then we're fine. You know, they're at 80,000, they're fine, okay? If they have no idea, or they, well, we just recently bought the car, I'm going to tell them that, look, you know, I'm going to say what I just said to you. This is what I see. They tend to last about 60 to 120,000 miles, you know, depending upon how long you're planning on keeping the car, maybe what your daily use is of the car. You know, for one person who's only driving 5-10 miles a day, they probably have more time on their side than versus someone who says, hey, Brad, I drive 100 miles a day. Okay. Plus the fact if that car goes bad on them, if that water pump goes bad, they're going to be potentially further away from home. Okay. Because they drive 100 miles a day. Okay. So part of it is risk. Some people seem to want to roll the dice with their cars. You know, again, I'm not there to judge anybody. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to educate them. My goal is in the car repair world is to have them have the best, you know, life they can with their car, okay? Is that car is there to serve them, to get them from A to B, hopefully as reliably and with as much dependability as it can. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I'm doing a podcast, is to try to educate people so they can have a better life experience with their car, okay? I mean, with knowledge, there is the potential for power, okay? If you're knowledgeable about something, you're not acting from a position of ignorance. You know, the saying is ignorance is bliss. Yeah, it's bliss right up to the point where it bites you in the butt, okay? If you had known something, maybe you could have made a better decision versus doing nothing, okay? You were blissful right up to the point that you were on the side of the road, okay? So that's, getting back to, in regards to coolant leaks, let's say you're on a trip or something, you realize there's a coolant leak, maybe you've even popped the hood and figured out where it's coming from, maybe it's a slow little seepage leak and you're like, God, I just want to get home, but I, you know, you understand that you want to keep the coolant level proper. If you walk into a parts store or whatever, if all they have to offer you is universal, what's called universal coolant, okay, in a pinch, in that scenario, it's okay to put it in, okay, but let me just give you a quick advice about universal coolant. There are fluid manufacturers who claim that, yes, our coolant will work with any car. Well, in a pinch, that's better than doing nothing, okay? However, like engine oils and a lot of fluids for our cars, there are definitely manufacturers that have specifics where it has to be formulated a certain way, so on and so forth. And just because one coolant might be okay for a Mercedes-Benz or a Hyundai does not mean it's okay for a BMW or a Ford, okay? So in a pinch, you know, I would say, yes, it's okay to use a universal coolant to get you home. But in the grand scheme of things, if you're, you know, if you are adding coolant, you're doing your own repairs yourself, or you just want to keep some coolant in your car with you because you're, you know, preventative minded, you definitely want to get a gallon of coolant that is made for your car, okay, or cars like yours, okay. So in regards to purchasing antifreeze, you know, it does make a difference. But in a pinch, in my professional opinion, you know, if you're in a bind, then, you know, using universal coolant is okay for now. Some people would disagree with that, and I understand that. I mean, the other option would be just putting water in, okay? But if the leak is bad enough and you're on some big trip or something and for some reason you just don't feel you can get the car fixed before you make it home, the problem with just putting water in is that over time you're going to be diluting the coolant to where all you end up with is water. And that's a recipe for the possibility of a car, an engine that's going to overheat, okay? So, and again, if you wanted to find out more about that, you know, again, check back with that episode I told you about a little while ago about cooling systems and why they're pressurized. Okay, I do talk more about cooling systems and antifreezes and what their function is in a cooling system. So check that one out. That's about it for this one. I hope you have found it enlightening and increased your knowledge about your car. Because, you know, that's the other thing. If you have knowledge about something, there's less the possibility of fear, okay, if you want to call it that. And you can make decisions, you know, based on more on knowledge than not knowing, okay? So hope you found it enlightening. Hope it's been interesting to you. Again, if you want to contact me, you know, any thoughts, reviews, ideas. I'm always looking for new subject titles, so by all means, you know, let me know. It's bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I do also, of course, own and operate a BMW repair shop in Newbury Park, California. It's called Brad's Motorworks. You know, if you want to check out my website you know, there's some just things about me and what I'm doing at the shop and whatever. But again, I only work on BMW specifically. I am also on LinkedIn if you want to check that out and maybe communicate with me via that. Appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening. I hope it's been beneficial for you. And hope you have a great day and a fantastic week. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.